You are all here today. My name is Alicia. I'm a college student, so I'm gone for a few months out of the year. But I am always so thankful and so grateful to be back here at Only Believe with my family of faith. So this morning we have a few announcements. There's a prayer team coming around with some prayer cards, and we would love to pray for you if you have prayer requests and needs. So please flag one of them down, get a prayer card, and they'll be back around to pick those up whenever you're ready. Also, if you are a first-time guest, we are so glad that you are here with us today. There is a pew right in front of you, and there's a QR code right there. If you would look that up and get a Connect card online right there, we would love to connect with you and get to know you because we're so glad you're here today. Or if not, you can go right out to the Welcome Center, and we'll connect with you right there. Also, you might have seen the big stack of tissue boxes right out there outside the doors. We are doing the school tissue drive, and those tissues, the last day to bring them in is Wednesday, July 10th. So the local schools, a lot of teachers bring in the tissue boxes or the parents bring them in, and we just want to bless our local communities and just be a light to them. So you can either drop tissues off right out there, or you can order them on Amazon and they'll be shipped right here to the church. It's a great way to serve. Also, Serve Week is happening July 17th through the 20th. This is a way to get in these groups, and we're going to go out and serve our communities that week. So the ways you can get involved, the list is on our social media, or you can go right out there to the Welcome Center to get signed up for a group. We are so excited to serve in our communities, and it's going to be so great. Lastly, our first Saturday prayer. Every first Saturday of the month, we come right here for prayer at 8 a.m., and that is this Saturday. So we would love it if you would come right here for prayer this Saturday morning. It's going to be great. And recently, our youth has come back from their mission trip. So Pastor Tim's going to come right up here and talk about that.
Thank you. Yeah, we are so excited. We sent 23 people to Niagara Falls, New York to participate in a missions trip, 18 of whom were students. And we're going to just take a moment to have some of them share. So Miss Erica somewhere, Miss Erica. Oh, right over here. All right. She's got some students she's bringing up. They're just going to share a little bit about the trip.
Good morning, church. Hey, come in. I just want to tell you how proud I am of our group. They love, they serve the community with humility, with respect. They take initiative. They have an excellent spirit. We don't have to ask. We don't have to constantly give them jobs. They just see it. They do it. So they go and they represent our church and the body of Christ beautifully. We also had the opportunity to lead worship there because of the gifts and talents that our kids have. And it was awesome. We're really proud of them. Couple quick things that stuck out to me as a leader. Joe can share one from his group too. Okay. Into the light. Okay. The one day that we were at a Salvation Army. We were showering after a long day of serving, and I was speaking to the major there, and he was just kind of just watching our kids interact, all right? And they were worshiping. There's a piano there. They're doing what they do, all right? They're being themselves. And he looked at me. He said, "Is this normal?" I'm like, "What do you mean? How they're behaving?" I'm like, "Yeah, this is normal." He goes, "I don't see a culture of students acting like that. Very rarely. But that's what we have in our kids. And that represents you guys." Another quick story is we, at the Community Mission House, we have to go through hundreds of boxes of fruits and vegetables, food for the community when they come in and get things. Because in Niagara Falls, there's like a 63%, is that right? Poverty rate? More or less, okay. So it's a large scale. Anywho, our kids get in there. There's all these little jobs that have to be done to prepare for families coming up and driving, getting their boxes, going through just next phases. There's lots of little stations. It took one day for us to catch on, those kids getting hands-on, being excellent at what they're doing, being thorough, and having a great attitude and loving those people, praying for those people. I know Lindsay prayed for a woman who had lupus. Yep, she just ministered to her. So the group leader pulled us aside after the first day and he said, "I've never seen a group come in here and just take charge. Just take initiative the way that your group has." So you guys have a lot to be proud of. All right, Eddie?
So yesterday when I was thinking about everything that we had done and gone through this week, I was thinking when we first got there, it was scary because it's very old town and kind of creepy there. But then in every situation, you got to dig a little deeper to find the beauty of it all. When we went to the falls, it was gorgeous. It was amazing. You got to dig a little deeper to find in every situation something amazing that's going to come out of it. And this place gets so many people that come to the falls, but not many people who live there. But so being able to go there and see how amazing it was just my favorite part.
It was more of a blessing for me to take your children, to the Niagara. It's just to watch them be the hands and feet of Jesus. For a community that just in poverty and they're not used to that kind of service, for us to go just share Jesus with them. One day stood out to me, we moved 4,000 pounds of water for the Salvation Army. That was just donated from Sam's Club. The guy that was at the Salvation Army said, "Hey, come on, we need your help." I took four or five guys from the youth, and we knocked it out in like record time. Like two pallets, 48 cases on each pallet of water. And we moved it all over Salvation Army, and the guy was just ecstatic. He was floored that he had that much help. And we did all kinds of, the work that we did is just endless. But I'm so proud of each and every one of those youth that were there helping. And of course I took my boys, and it was just surreal just to see, be in that atmosphere, and plus having the icing on the cake to see the falls as well. But it was a very beautiful experience.
we first arrived at Niagara Falls, we had an expectation. And we felt, for a lot of people who went last year, that it wasn't met like we thought it was. And we were like, I don't know about this. But then, like, we just started devotional time. And God really hit all of us with the spirit of humility and reminded us not to judge. Those people live there. We don't get to judge their home. You wouldn't want someone to walk into your home and nitpick every single thing that you don't think is perfect in their own home. You don't want that. So God really said, humble yourself, and we walked in God's humility, and we learned how God wants us to love and how God wants us to serve, and to see that and experience that and to hear those people's stories about, literally, we talk to so many people who don't even have a proper house. They have to live at like a community center. They have to live just somewhere. Some of the people are sleeping in the streets. They're sleeping outside of stores just because they need shelter. And for the opportunity to go and help those people, it was such a blessing from the Lord to learn how to serve like him and to love them. And just to be able to help those people, it's eye-opening. It really is eye-opening to see how God's love can affect those people. They were crying just because we were willing to help them and not to judge them because of what happened to them that sometimes wasn't even their fault. So we were just so blessed and so lucky to serve them. And I hope that we can continue to serve our communities here and not just leave it back in New York.
So during the time of the missions trip, I had a really good eye-opener. So during the devotional, it's called Rooted by Faith or something like that. And it has really impacted my life with my walk with Jesus. And also seeing all of us just being a help to these companies and to these other types of corporations. Everything is just an eye-opener because we have no clue how good we have it here until you go over there to see what they have. And it's just so beautiful that we get to go and just serve Jesus and serve these people who don't know Jesus and to know people and to just include everybody who wants to know Jesus and who doesn't want to know Jesus. And I'm just very thankful that I got to go to the missions trip because it wouldn't have been without my dad and everybody else, guys. Everything is just so eye-opening, and I just can't imagine not being or just not helping anybody with like their walk with Jesus, because everything that I experienced was around that part. So yeah.
So I had a little bit of a different task at camp, is what I call it camp. I was called the hospitality lady. I like to be called the hospitality queen, but I stayed behind and I would help to cook and clean after everyone there. There were about 83 students and leaders. I eventually got to go help with some of the team. One of the things that the leaders of YouthWorks said was that they couldn't believe how helpful our students were. So the only reason I really got to go was because our students stepped up and made it so that I was able to go, because they stayed back and helped me to get my task complete for the day. So we really do have beautiful teens here. They shine brighter, I hate to say it, than a lot of others, but just so proud of everything we got accomplished.
Good job. Thank you so much, guys. We appreciate you. Thank you, church, for allowing us to do something like this. I know that many of you probably helped some of those students get there because they actually pay their own way to go and serve other people, which is just amazing. But thank you for being a part of that. So we're going to get into worship because this is all about Jesus in the first place. That's why we do things like go on mission trips, to let people know about Jesus. And here's what I love about Jesus. There's always more of him. You can always get more of Jesus in your life. So let's worship together this morning.
Holy Spirit, take my hand now, lead me out in the living waters. You're the wellspring, you are stirring. You're the life for your sons and your daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is rising within me. So bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Come and give the Lord his glory. Calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love,
because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, into your love. My faith is rising within me. So bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Lift your hands, give the Lord his glory. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, into your love. There's freedom in the water. There's healing in the water. Oh, Jesus, you're the river, and I'll never find the end. There's freedom in the water. There's healing. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, into your love. There's freedom in the water. There's healing in the water. Oh, Jesus, you're the river, and I'll never find the end. There is freedom in the water. There is healing in the water. Oh, Jesus, you're the river, and I'll never find the end. There is freedom in the water. There is healing in the water. Jesus, you're the river, and we'll never find the end. There is freedom in the water. There is healing in the water. Oh, Jesus, you're the river, and we'll never find the end.
Question for every lie that you've silenced with love, we acknowledge you in every victory, Almighty God. For every promise you've kept in the valley, for every burden you've lifted with ease, we have gathered with great expectation, Lord. We believe. To amaze us, all of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory, take all the credit for what you're about to do. Every good thing comes from you. For every season that showed us your sorrow,
Every trial that taught us to trust. We are standing right here in your purpose as you stand with us. Oh, you never cease to amaze us. All of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory. Take all the credit for what you're about to do. Every good thing, every good thing comes from you. Oh, every good thing, every good thing, every good thing comes from you. Every good thing, oh, yes, every good thing, oh, yes, oh. The praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory. Take all the credit for what you're about to do. You never cease to amaze us. All of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory. Oh, Jesus.
Sing it out to him this morning. Jesus, receive all the glory.
Take all the credit
for what you're about. Oh, you never cease. You never cease to amaze us. All of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory. Take all the credit for what you're about to do. 'Cause every good thing comes from you. Oh yes it does. Every good thing comes from you. Sing every good thing comes from you. From you, Lord, every good thing comes from you. Oh, every good thing.
Great adore you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, only. Every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath. Will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord.
Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs.
praise.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will say,
great are you, Lord.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry.
These bones will sing, great are you, Lord.
And all the earth will shout your praise.
Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing, great are you, Lord.
And all the earth will shout your praise.
Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing, great are you, Lord.
Cause it's your breath. Oh, it's your breath in our lungs. Oh, our very life, it's your breath in our lungs. Oh, it's your breath. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Oh, great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great
are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord.
He has come to release your brokenness.
Praise God.
It's gonna come all of a sudden.
It's gonna come all of a sudden. It's gonna come all of a sudden. I feel it coming all of a sudden. It's gonna come all of a sudden. It's gonna come all of a sudden. It's gonna come all of a sudden. I feel it coming all of a sudden. No, it's gonna come all of a sudden.
His strength is renewed.
It's gonna come all of a sudden.
Side, and he would say, Nicole, try to find a quietness in the wave when it stops. And we would try, but every single time you thought it was going to stop, here would come another crash. And he said, you know, you can't find a time when he's silent, can you? And I said, what do you mean, Grandpa? He said, look at God's faithfulness. The ocean never stops. It will never not turn a wave because he's faithful in your life. And when you go through storms of this life, when you think that things are hopeless and maybe there's no place that he can't reach that's broke, you think it's too far for him to fix, I remind you that every time you breathe him in, it's like washing the ocean, bring life. And every time it comes, he said, the breath of God comes. And every time the ocean comes in, it takes something bad with it. It brings new life and takes away. He said, God brings you new life with every breath you live in Him. And He takes all that nasty stuff in your life, and He comes and He takes it away piece by piece. Every time the water washes over us, the Holy Spirit washes into our life, He takes away the bad and He brings something good, like the wave of the ocean. The Bible says that He is close to the brokenhearted. Don't give up. Your suddenly is coming. And one day, all of a sudden, you're going to wake up and you're going to know that that place that was once broke, it's not broke no more. It's not unfixable. In fact, you're going to reach out to others and say, it's fixable. I know because of what God's done in my life that He fixes the brokenhearted. He does. He Himself is close to you and working with you and walking. Breathe Him in today. Don't give up and don't back up and don't think that you have to live in this place. God's not a God that only does a partial miracle. He comes to do a complete miracle. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to move on in our service today. We have a lot to cover. But He was definitely here to heal brokenness today. God, You're so faithful. Thank You for Your faithfulness. It's offering time here at Only Believe. And you'll know I'm not going to teach on an offering spot today because we have a special speaker today. We were going to be talking on the Acts series. How many of you did your reading this week? Okay. All right, there's a few of you out there that read. So we are reading through the entire book of Acts to know what were the actions of the disciples. But I'm going to be honest with you, there's not many people that can hijack a service. But how many of you know the mother of our house is allowed? Woohoo! So Pastor Phyllis is going to be sharing a message with us today that God has shared with her that she's going to share with us, and we believe that it is in due season that we're receiving the word of the Lord. Amen? And we're going to take that, and everyone knows when a mother steps up to the plate to speak, we should listen. Amen? Because there's something in what a mother says, and her heart's in the place that we can receive it. Amen? So let's prepare our hearts. There's three ways that Only Believe you can give. They're going to put those on the screen for us. You can give online at onlybelievechurch.give. You can give by text, and you can do that. Or you can do in person in the bucket during a service. And if you just click on the QR code, that'll lead you to that spot. For those of you that do not have the church app, that's what the first one will lead you to. It's called the Church Center. And if you click on that, it literally takes me 5 seconds to give. I did mine yesterday so that I would not forget today because I knew it was such a busy service. But I want to encourage you that we're doing this to save time, effort, and money. It's not that we don't want to do the old checks. It's not that we don't want to do cash. We're not trying to take nothing away. We're trying to make it easy for those of you that do a more digital society. But we believe in giving here at Only Believe. It's just that today we're not going to teach on it right now. We're going to teach on it later. So let us pray. Father, we just come before You in the name of Jesus. Father, as always, we count it as an offering, as just this beautiful thing that we get to give to You. Father, that we get to be a part of Your big plan. God, that we get to obey the word, that we get to give, Lord, that we might be able to be obedient and walk out our life with You. God, we thank You that You saw what we needed long before we needed, and You demonstrated give when You gave Your only Son to us. Now in return, we become like You, our Father, who's perfect. And we too give from the abundance of our heart. Father, and we know that when we do what Your word asks, we will not be disappointed, that Your word will not return void in our lives, that our heart will be kept from greed, and that we will be kept about Your business. And for that, we are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can bring your tithes and offerings.
my faith was dry. And you'll be my lily in the valley, valley. Why would I doubt when you are the God that still provides?
I say Jesus paid the price.
Yesu alilipa gharama.
He took the punishment
aliweza kuchukua hiyo adhabu
that you and I deserve.
Ambayo wewe na mimi tulistahili.
So what Jesus did,
kile ambacho Yesu alifanya,
he took our sin,
alichukua dhambi zetu,
and gave us his goodness.
Na akatupatia utakayoipokea.
I got faith in Jesus.
Ni kwa imani ndani ya Kristo.
He has never failed me.
Hajawahi shindwa.
And he is not going to fail you tonight.
Na ataweza kushindwa.
Oh, hallelujah. Get them right now. And I command these things to come out of them in Jesus' name.
Pastor Rick, this young man came. He's had problems with his left leg since January of this year. Every day in pain. Tonight when you pray that prayer, the pain left, he is healed.
No pain.
Yeah,
the pain is gone.
Yeah.
No pain.
Yeah.
No pain at all.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody give God praise tonight.
Hallelujah.
Oh, wow. God, I thank you all the way. Creative miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to see this. Hallelujah. This woman says she no longer has pain in her leg. Now that ain't nothing but Jesus. That is Jesus right there. Now here's what's going to happen. These wounds are going to heal. Your skin is going to come back. I release that in Jesus' name. Total healing right now. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's going to finish it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can hear. You can hear. You can hear. So say what I say. Hallelujah. We serve a miracle working Jesus Christ. Oh, I can't wait for this one.
This woman came tonight. She has not been able to move her right arm for 2 years. Tonight, after prayer, she's got mobility back. Jesus has healed her.
You always do. You can do it back then. You can do it now. Because you don't ever let your kids down.
This woman could not move her arm. But because of Jesus Christ, she can now move that arm. Somebody needs to say hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. God bless. Hallelujah. It was this eye. Okay, so cover up this one. Can you see me? Am I good looking? No, I'm just kidding.
That's two.
You can see that clearly.
It's Uri.
That's three.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Jamani.
Only Jesus can do that.
Yes,
it's all around that the miracle work is working a miracle out. The miracle work is working a miracle now. The miracle work is working a miracle out. You promised you don't ever let your kids down. Hey. No, you never let your kids down.
You're the same God that's here right now. Now, come on, he's knocking off your sicknesses. Come on, he's knocking off your torments. Come on, he's taking away your sickness, your disease, your sickness. It's gone, baby. It's gone, baby. Come on, somebody, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you believe that tonight, I want you to give Jesus one more shout of praise. Come on, give me one more shout of praise tonight.
Had a swollen leg, a swollen knee for 1 year. Tonight as you prayed that prayer, all the swelling went away.
She is whole.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
Come on, give Jesus some praise.
As you pray and call out,
rest
your joy is the pain left him. He can breathe. He's healed.
Come on, give God some praise. Give him some praise. Thank Jesus right now. Oh, hallelujah.
Before it came, for five years ago, he was in an accident. Ooh. And his hand was maimed.
Yes.
And he was in pain.
Hmm.
But tonight, during prayer,
yes,
he felt the pain physically leave
Come
his
on.
Body.
Yes.
And he wants to give God praise.
Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It left. Come on. Hallelujah. All pain gone? You can't feel no pain?
Yes.
It's all gone? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody.
God bless you.
Yes.
Dr. Randy, this young lady came 9 years ago. She had a stroke.
What?
9 years ago, after that stroke, it left her paralyzed on her right side and in pain, unable to move. But tonight, God has healed her.
She's home.
Come on. Upande wake wa kulia miaka 9 iliyopita lakini jioni ya leo Yesu Kristo amemponya na unaona anaweza kutembea na hana uchungu makofi kwa Yesu
come on hallelujah
hallelujah
yes
dio
you can move you can move it
and
your hands
na mkono
your arm
hallelujah kupigia Yesu makofi
Thank you, Jesus.
Asante Jesus. Asante Jesus. This is the greatest miracle of all of salvation. This 17-year-old man came forward and he wanted to share that he just received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he wanted to tell the preacher through many lots of that God has just saved his soul.
Kijana huyu amepata ile miujiza kali. Father, in the name of Jesus,
Baba, katika jina la Yesu,
I thank you for what you've done here tonight.
Nakushukuru kwa yale umefanya hapa jioni ya leo.
God, I thank you for the miracles.
Mungu, nakushukuru kwa miujiza.
I thank you, you're still healing.
Asante kwa sababu bado unaponya.
But God, I thank you for the greatest miracle of all.
Lakini nakushukuru kwa miujiza ambayo ni kuu zaidi.
And that is salvation.
Na hiyo ni wokovu.
Oh, thank you for what you did here tonight.
Asante kwa yale umefanya hapa jioni ya leo.
That God, they believed.
Mungu waliamini.
And they received.
Na walipokea.
And I pronounce a blessing.
Na ninanena baraka.
A supernatural blessing.
Baraka ya kiungu.
In Jesus' name.
Kwa jina la Yesu.
And we all said.
Na sote tunasema.
Amen.
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 The miracle work is working a miracle out. The evidence. It's all around out. The miracle work is working a miracle out. The miracle work is working a miracle now. The miracle work is working a miracle out. Your promises, you don't ever let your kids down. No, you never let your kids down. You never let your kids down. You never let your kids down. You don't ever let your kids down.
Well, hallelujah. Eric, where you at? Come on up here, Mr. Smith. It's good stuff. You know, we couldn't do what we do without Eric. I'll tell you that right now. He is the WD-40 of this operation. Amen? Right? Right? He puts everybody in place and all this kind of stuff and everything, which is good. I'll let him say something here. But I just want to say that when we had VBS, we raised $835. For VBS, for missions, and Pastor, $500 came from the youth, so they wanted to sow a seed. So they sowed a seed for the youth, so it was $835 total. I wanted to take and do two different orphanages. So I asked our interpreter, Harry, find us an orphanage around the slums that where we're doing the crusade, and he made a couple phone calls. He found this orphanage, didn't know who they were, had never been there before. We came in unannounced. Didn't know who we were, walked in through the door, met Sheila was her name. She was kind of running the orphanage for her mother. Her mother was the founder. She wasn't there. We go up on the second floor, and there's a little baby and a little caretaker holding this little 4.5-month-old boy. They said that the police had brought him in a day old, And they kind of leave them on the trash piles. They leave them at the gas station, or they'll leave them in front of the police station, somewhere where there's some public, so, you know, or whatever. So this little guy was left at somewhere, and the police brought him in at a day old, 4.5 month old. So I'm sitting there, and I look at him. He starts to smile. He starts to laugh and stuff. I don't know if it's because I'm white or what, but anyhow, you know, maybe you've never seen a Mzungu before, right? Right? Mzungu means white man. And so I said, well, what's his name? And the lady looks and she said, his name is Peter. And I was like, no, let me hold him, you know, a little Peter. So we didn't bring him back. I wanted to, but Nicole would have probably killed me. So, you know, anyway, long story short was, at the end of the tour, it was a horrible place. They have 87 orphans there. She said, I want to let you know that you have made a big difference in our life here today. And I said, okay, well, listen, I hope $420 is something. Now, it's 125 shillings to every American dollar. I'll let you know how far our money goes there. And she said, no, you don't understand. I called my mother last night and said, Mom, we can't eat today. We have run out of food for this orphanage. We don't know what to do. We're going to have to close it down. We're going to do something else. And her mother said, listen, just pray. And these are the exact words she said. And God will do what God will do. Those are the exact words. And the next day, we walk into this orphanage, didn't know who we were, handed her $420, and she said, you have changed our life. It was just beautiful how this was ordained, obviously, from God. When we pray, when we ask God for something, who cares where it comes from? We just believe. And all things are possible if we believe. And she believed and prayed. And here we walked in, having all this stuff situated from America, handed her this money. I wasn't satisfied. I went back that night at dinner, and I got some reinforcements. I'm like, Eric, you're rich. Give me some money. You're this. Give me some money. I need some money from you. Rick, now your wife takes all your money. Okay, I need some money, money, money. And so we went back the next day with five people. Guy gave $1,000. Another guy gave $500. I mean, gave money to these people. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal what happened. But the next day when we got there, the second time, unannounced, things had already changed. So there was already chickens running around because that's, you know, that's what they use. Somebody had dropped a bunch of wood and kids were busting it all up because that's what they use for the fire. The countenance in Sheila, the lady was there. I prophesied to her and different things. She had already changed. It was beautiful what had happened. The lady came who actually runs the orphanage. She was crippled. God gave her a miracle. It was just, listen, so many things that happened to this orphanage. It was beautiful, and it was God-ordained. So thanks to VBS. Thanks for the kids doing what they do. And then when we do what we do, God will do what he does. And that's the biggest thing that was amazing for me over there, other than the miracles, other than the salvations and things of that nature, in this really deprived, impoverished area that you have no clue what it's like. And God was there, and he's still doing things, still doing miracles. People are still getting healed. That place, Jacaranda, is changed. History was made. Nobody ever did a crusade in 6 days ever there. Sometimes they do one day and they leave because nobody show up, this or that. We stayed consistent whether we had one person or 30,000 people. And the second thing was nobody had ever done anything ever for children there, ever. So he was historical in those two areas. Phenomenal.
Amen. Amen. I just think the support that you guys give is just invaluable. I think about how we would not be able to do these things. You know, I think about how, because of your support financially with prayers, what God does with that. I mean, you know, the lady with the, we could see her bone literally almost. And this lady is saying, I have no pain. And I'm going, how is that possible? You know, I can see the inside of your body, you know. And she's like, I have no pain. You know, but I just think about, if you guys didn't pray for us, if you didn't financially support us, I don't know if that would have happened. And so I get real choked up about that. I think about the pastors, when we're there, you know, we'll sow seeds in the pastors. And there was a pastor, he said, he picked me up to come preach at his church. And he said, you know, I just got this car. And I said, oh, okay, amen, praise God, you know. And so I sowed a seed into him. And he looked at it and he said, you don't understand what you've just done. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, we got the car. He said, but we are having trouble with the insurance on the car. And I said, well, are we insured, you know? And he's like, we are. He said, but what you just gave me will now help us, you know, pay for the rest of the insurance that's owed on this car. And I'm thinking, this is money that some of us might spend on a night out to dinner. And this money covered, you know, a good portion of his annual car insurance. It just touches my heart what Only Believe, the people that support Only Believe, it just touches me how you guys move with your prayers and with your financial support and what God does with us. So I'm just amazed at that, the miracles, how many people get saved. I mean, people over there, they want salvation. I mean, we have people in the hotel saying, listen, can you just get me a Bible? And I think of all the things you could ask me for, that's the only thing you want, you know? I mean the people at the front desk, hey, I heard you guys are you the pastors from America? Yes. Can you get me a Bible? Can you pray for me? Can you play a blessing over me? You guys have no idea of the support that you give. You have no idea what it does, and I'm just grateful for it.
As we always like to do, we always love to give the church a little understanding of what God's helping us accomplish over there. We could not do this without you. We can't thank you enough for your prayers, your support. Also want to give a shout out to Andrew Rogers. All these videos, you know, the video you just saw, plus about six or seven others. He was on the team, worked like the rest of us about 20 hours a day from the time we landed to the time we left Kenya. But he does a great job as well. He's got his servant's heart. We love what we're doing to show the world what God's doing in Kenya. But to think about what God did, as Pastor Randy mentioned, we're so thankful for the souls. We're so thankful for the miracles. We are moving forward with Peter Dosik Ministries. Even though Pastor's up in heaven cheering us on right now, we're still moving forward, and we're doing it at greater scale. You know, before Pastor went to heaven, I had the privilege of telling him that we saw over 1.2 million people come to Christ through his ministry right before he went to heaven. And guess what? We're projecting to see between 2.5 and 3 million people come to Christ this year because we have sons and daughters going out preaching the gospel. So to see 150,000 people touched, Pastor Randy impacted to over 26,000 children. 26,000 children. We got a chance to go into 3 orphanages, 17 schools. We had those 2 children's crusades. And again, over 800 pastors were impacted to go back to their respective churches in Kenya, and they believe they can be miracle workers as well. And most importantly, we saw over 42,000 decisions for Christ that we give God praise for. That's almost the population of Shelby County. What are on their way to heaven because of you, because of your prayers, because of your support. Again, together we are making a difference because we are one as we take this gospel around the world. So we just want to say thank you so much for all you do for us. Again, we're getting ready to go to Uganda in a few weeks. We're believing God to touch about 250,000 people in front of us and millions more on live television while we're over there. Would you be praying for us as we do our next crusade 7 weeks from now? Amen. We're going to pull the harvest in for you. All right. Let's give our mother of our house a warm welcome as Pastor Phyllis Dosik brings forth the message today.
Thank you. Oh, my. Do you realize how long it's been since I have preached in the main house except for like maybe 20 minutes, like on a Wednesday night? Probably 3 years. Yes, probably that long. So, but I believe that God wants me to speak to you, to the church, today concerning tithes and offerings. Don't be throwing no tomatoes. All right? Because the guys out there, you know, they're threatening. But anyway, listen, God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. really to bless us, to bless us. And if we don't follow God's plan, how can we be blessed, right? Okay, now I know you've heard these statistics, but do you realize that only 6 to 15% of believers tithe? Out of the whole world, 6 to 15% tithe. 85% of the believers don't tithe. 85%. Okay, so people have come up to me over the years and they would say, Pastor Phyllis, why am I not being blessed? And they said, I'm doing everything that I know to do. I said, okay, all right. So I said, are you a tither? They said, no, we can't afford to tithe. You don't understand. We cannot afford to tithe. I said, honey, I'm from the South. I said, you can't afford not to tithe. You cannot afford. I said, because God taught Israel to give in their midst of their poverty. I said, you can't afford not to give or not to tithe. I'm sorry. Now, so tithing and giving is God's plan for us to be blessed. So I have to say the reason that he wasn't being blessed is because he wasn't a tither. And I would tell him that. I said, honey, I'm sorry, but you know, you're not a tither, so God can't bless you. This is the map. This is everything that he's laid out for you and I. Anyway, I've got to watch my time. So anyway, I said, because the devil is stealing your stuff. He's stealing it because you can't stop him. Because, see, God is the one that stops the devourer, right? So if you don't have God backing you up, the devil's just going to come and he's going to rob you. He's going to steal from you. And when you're a tither, you're blessed in every area of your life, even, church, if you don't recognize it. Listen, somebody comes up, they give you $50 in your hand. That's a blessing of God. Somebody comes up and gives you a lawnmower that you needed, or takes you to a hospital and pays all the way, or does whatever for you. We don't even recognize what God does for us. Do you realize this? They just think, well, I haven't seen nothing coming down from heaven on top of me, like he says, you know, he's going to pour out upon us. Okay, so anyway, but I want to say this. I'm allowed to use Quentin and Jillian. Well, they're getting ready to have a baby, and they need stuff, you know, high chairs, baby cribs, all this kind of stuff. So I don't know how they heard about it, but somewhere in Lima, you just showed up. You didn't even know? Okay, they just showed up. And so they went to this, what's the name of it? Golo. Low. Oh, Nolo. Okay. Okay, so they went to Nolo in Lima, and for $160, they got $800 worth of stuff. Now, you tell me that God is not blessing a tither? Absolutely. I mean, like high chairs, two car seats, because one for when they grow. And I mean, it was just miraculous. I mean, I think. So, now, enough of that, but I want to say this. Tithing is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it's talking about your money. So you could read it like this. Where your wealth, because treasure means wealth and riches. So where your wealth and riches are, there will your heart be also. So when we give our tithes and offerings, we are showing our heart for God. Seriously, we're showing our heart for God. And it shows that God is number one in our lives because we're given to him first. So a person's heart is tied to what they value the most in life, and most of the time, that's their money, right? So I'm going to tell you a little story about Pastor Peter, because I like to link stories in with my teachings because it keeps it interesting. Okay, so I'm going to talk about him. See, he's up there. He can't say, no, I didn't. Okay, but anyway, okay, so Nicole got saved at 5 years old. I got saved at 27, about a year after Nicole. And then Pastor hadn't got saved yet. So I went to Pastor and I said, honey, I said, I got saved and I want to tithe off of my check. I said, I won't tithe off yours, but I want to tithe off my check. Do you mind? I don't care what you do. Do it. Because, see, he wasn't saved yet. So he's kind of mean. And he said, I don't care what you do. Just do it. So I tithed off my check. And then about 2 weeks, I don't know the timetable, okay? So anyway, I dreamed a dream. But I think it was like about 2 weeks. But he got saved. I'm sorry. I got to back up. He got saved a year after I did. And then he come to me about 2 weeks after that, and he said, I'm going to tell you something. I am not giving my money to that pastor. I am not going to tithe because I don't know what he does with it, you know. And he said he could be doing anything with that money. I said, okay, but I've been taught all my life you need to tithe. And it was very important in our home. And he said, well, I'm not tithing. I am not giving that pastor my money. I said, okay. Okay, well, I'm going to continue giving him mine. He said, that's fine. So about 2 weeks after that, I had a dream. And I dreamed that Pete and I went into this store, an old country store. I mean, the wood was on the walls, no drywall, nothing. It was just old. It was about a size 20 by 20 room. And we walked in, and behind the counter was an old, old, old man. Totally white hair, and he was sitting behind the counter. And so anyway, we looked around the store, and we were going. Now, some of you know this story, but some of you don't. That's been here for years, but some of the new people, they don't know it. So anyway, so he was busy looking around the store, and I was with him, but I got bored. There was nothing to look at, really. So I go up to the counter, and I'm going to talk to the old guy, okay? So I just leaned on the thing like that on the counter. And he talked to me. He said, your husband is stealing from me. I said, oh my gosh, no, no, no. You would never, my husband would never steal from you. You don't realize that. He would never steal from you. He never said that anything like, yeah, blah, blah. He just said, your husband, again, second time, is stealing from me. I said, no, no, sir, listen. Like, listen, Linda. No, I said, remember the old video? Anyway, I said, no, sir, you don't realize. My husband never took a penny from anybody or a dime from anybody. He just looked at me and he said, he's stealing from me. And I woke up. So I told Pastor that. He wasn't a pastor then. He just got saved, hadn't been saved long. And I told him that, and I didn't know what it meant because I was too young a Christian. He said, I know exactly what it means. I said, what? He said, I'm stealing from him and my tithes and my offerings. I said, oh, honey, you're right. Absolutely. So I know that all of you know this scripture and you're very familiar, but Malachi 3, 8 through 11 says, will a man rob God? You say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And that word meat is meaning food. Spiritual food can be preached in the house. Okay? And prove me now. So God's just saying, try me. Just test me. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So in this scripture, it's telling us that if we don't tithe, we are robbing God. We are stealing from him, okay? He's telling us, bring your tithes, prove me, try me. Bring your tithes into the church house. Bring them. And, you know, listen, this is the plan that God has laid out for us. And if we don't go by that plan, we're not going to be blessed. Now, let me explain. Hair. I got a hair. So let me explain what tithing is. 95% of you know all about tithing. But there's another 5% that are young and new and has come here to the church that they don't know. So tithing is a tenth of your income that we are supposed to give God. Say you make $100, then you give God 10. You make $200, 20, 50, $500, 50, you get the drift, right? So you give him 10% of your income. And tithing is a way to show your gratitude to God. You know, for all of his blessings, even though you don't think, you know, I'm not blessed, I need this, I need that. No, you're blessed. You are blessed. Now, so, and you appreciate, it shows that you appreciate what God has given you or entrusted you with, okay? Now, as you know, the Bible tells us that God owns absolutely everything that we have, right? Everything we have here on the earth, God owns. But we think, this is what we think. We think, hey, I work for this money. You don't understand. My sweat, my time, my energy went into this money. I'm not giving it. That's the way Pastor felt till God whipped him. So anyway, this is my money, but that's the way we feel sometimes because that's what happens. But here's what God says about it. He says, Exodus 19:5, all the earth is mine. We think it's ours. Job 41:11 says, whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. We think it's ours. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, we are not our own. We don't even own ourselves. We are not our own. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, you were bought with a price. We've been bought. Now, Deuteronomy 10:14 says, indeed, the heavens and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also the earth with all that is in it, the cattle, the gold, the silver. You know what? Even down to our shoelaces, God owns. The clothes that is on our back, God owns. He owns everything. Now, so he says this. So let me say this. So my friend used to say, we are to watch over our flocks and our herds. And I love that saying, we are to watch over our flocks and herds. Because, see, God has made us stewards over everything he has. He's placed it in your life, but he's made us stewards. So if God brought us into this world, which he did, and we were chosen from our mother's womb, I love this because we were handpicked. Randy, we were handpicked from our mother's womb. The Bible says that we are stewards. We are his stewards, God's stewards. And we're to watch over what has been given to us. Now, so he placed us as stewards over everything he owns, all of his stuff, as a owner. Not as an owner, I'm sorry. Not as an owner, but a steward. Okay? So you say, well, Pastor Phyllis, what is a steward? A steward is a person who manages someone's personal property or and financial affairs. Just like Joseph did when he was in Potiphar's house. He managed everything that Potiphar had. And the Bible said he didn't even realize. Potiphar did not even know what he had because he had turned it over to Joseph. Joseph was faithful. Do it, Joseph, do it. Take care of everything. And he did. Now, I'm going to tell you guys something that you might not believe, but you will not be in financial trouble if you'll listen to these four words. God owns it all. God owns it all. You're saying, why are you saying that? Well, because if God requires you to give, you better give, because it isn't yours. We need to give. It's his money. It's his money. So when he tells you, do this, sow this, give this, it's God's money. Now, let's say you work for a big corporation, Randy, and you're over the finance department, and the main owner comes in, and he says, hey, Randy, I need you to write a check for $5,000 and send it over here to this department for whatever, whatever. And you say, no, I don't want to do that. Would you ever say that to someone that owned the company? Of course not. So why would we say that to God? God, I ain't giving that to you. Mm-mm. That's too big a amount of money. I ain't giving it. But I'm just showing you. So we are supposed to be, as stewards, found faithful. And when you're faithful, you do whatever God tells you to do, right? And whatever God's given us and put us over in our life, that's what we're supposed to be found faithful. So 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required, or in other words, obligated. You are obligated, in stewards, that a man be found faithful. So when God tells us to tithe or to give offerings, we need to tithe. We need to be found faithful. And if he says, you know what? I want you to write a big check today. You know what? We better do it, because he won't ask you if you don't have it. You better do it. You better do what God says. If he tells you to pay off someone's house, which we have, we pay it off. You pay it off. Whatever God tells you to do, do it, because God owns it all. Okay? Now, you say, well, how does that keep me out of financial trouble? Because you're giving. You're giving, and Luke 6:38 says, give. Give, and it shall be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men's going to give under your bosom, and with whatever measure that you have given, it's going to be given back to you again. So see, you're never going to be in financial trouble if you're a giver, if you're a tither. Okay? So that's how that works. Now, so we need to be found faithful. Now I'm going to tell you another story. I love stories. Andrew told me I need to write a book of stories. But anyway, this is about a woman that I knew. And she was an industrious woman. She would go and look for investments. She would go and look for deals. She would go and look for land, different things like that. And so she went and found 10 acres. And she divided those 10 acres. And it was like you had to have 200 feet for each plot. She divided all those, had the surveyor come out, worked on all that ground. And for a year, she worked on it. Put up the sign to sell it, because she was going to make clear. At that time, now it would have been a lot more. But at that time, she was going to make $85,000 on that land. All right, clear. So her husband came to her, and he said, I was praying, and I think that God wants you to give that land to the church. She said, what? What are you talking about? My goodness, I've worked all year long, and you tell me that God wants to be, why didn't God tell me? Why didn't God tell me? He said, I don't know, but I'm just telling you, he wants you to give that land to the church. God owns it all. So she said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it. So, but because she said, he didn't come and tell me. If God would have come and told me, she said, I would do it. But he didn't. He told you. So she said, so how do I know you heard from God? You know. So anyway, Loretta's over there laughing. So anyway, the week went by. She had no peace. Another week went by. Had no peace. It went on to 6 weeks. This woman is miserable. She has no peace. Finally, she goes to her husband. She said, honey, I will give that land to the church. The church can have that land. Now, think of the money, the time, everything she invested in that. But she gave it to the church. Now, I want some of you men, which I know Jim is good with math, I want you to figure this up. So then, about 12 years later, she reaped 171 acres farm. 171 acre farm. Jim, what would that be? 100-fold? 50, I don't know. I'm blonde. Huh? What did he say? Okay. Well, anyway, I'm just telling you, I don't know how many hundredfold that would be or whatever, but think about it. That girl gets money every year from that farm and still has 100, and I think she sold some off, so 169 acres. I'm telling you, you cannot outgive God. You know, people say, oh, it's just a cliche. You know, you're just saying, oh, you need to give because you can't outgive God. No, it's not a cliche. Everything in this Bible is true. Everything from the beginning to the end. And we just put our faith in it. Believe it. Because it's true. It's true. God's not a man. He can't lie to you. So, anyway, I had to tell you that story because I just, that's a great story, I think. But, so, now how do we handle, how we handle God's money impacts our relationship with the Lord. It really does. God trusts us with his money, and I want to please God, don't you? Well, let me say this. Sometimes this might be hard to swallow, because, buddy, it was for that lady. She did not want to give it, but she did, and she had peace. Immediately after she gave that, she had peace. So sometimes the Word of God is hard to swallow. It's hard to follow it. It's hard to do what God tells you to do. But I'm telling you, if you do, you'll never be in financial problems. You'll never have financial problems, all right? So now, let's get into some facts about tithing. What is the purpose of tithing? I don't know if anyone's ever taught these little facts or not, but what is the purpose of tithing? Well, it's a way to put God first in our lives, because when you give, you're saying, you really are God number one in my life. I'm giving you the first fruits off of everything. So when we give our tithe, we are worshiping God. We are honoring him, and we are reverencing God. Tithing shows our love for God, and it shows that we put our love for him above our need for money. That's exactly what it shows. And it teaches us to trust and rely on God. Now, tithing is also a reminder that God is our supplier of everything we have, because it's his. Now, and tithing is God's plan, a way to bless us, and God wants us blessed. Let me ask you a question. Ashley, when you don't know where you're going, do you follow your GPS? Sure, it takes you to where you want to go, doesn't it? Absolutely, because it's the world's plan to get you to where you're going. Then we have to follow the Bible, because it's our plan, the Bible's plan, God's plan, to get us to where we need to be financially. Because Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "For thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it's he, the Lord thy God, that giveth thee power to get wealth." Now, if God didn't want us blessed, why would he give us the power to get wealth? Yeah, he wants us blessed. Listen, we got to change our mindset, people. You know, you've heard that poor as a church mouse and all that. God doesn't want you poor. He wants you to be blessed. Do you want your kids poor? No. You want them to be blessed in every area. We're God's children. He wants us blessed, all right? So now we see what is the purpose of tithing. So let's see what, Now what tithing is used for, okay? Well, the first, we already talked about that. It's to worship God. It's to honor God. It's to spread the gospel. Just like these guys was up here this morning to reach the world. God says that you and I, all of us in here, are ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador is? It's a messenger sent by Christ to deliver a message to the world. And we're all ambassadors for Christ. But not all of us can go overseas. So when we give our money and we give our finances, we give. It helped Pastor Peter win hundreds of thousands of souls. It helped Pastor Randy, Pastor Rick, Brother Eric, all of these other men that went with you guys. But guess what? It's accredited to your account because you gave. Now, it's also accredited to you guys as well. I don't want to leave you out. But it is accredited to you and I because we gave. Now, another thing tithing's used for is to take care of God's house. Do you remember the scripture that said, you know, your house, you take real good care of your house, but my house lies in ruins. That's what God said. So we will never let God's house lie in ruins. So your tithe and offerings goes to the church payment. It goes to church insurance. It goes to maintenance, heat, lights, phone, roof, flooring, church needs, anything and everything that the church needs. That's what the tithing goes for. Now, number five, to help the poor. I got to tell you this little quick story. Okay, about 4 years ago, there was a guy that showed up during the work week here at church, and Brother Ed took care of him. I love Brother Ed. He's just, I just had a heart. He had the heart of the Father. He really did. So the guy came in, and he was dressed nice, a little, maybe sweaty, dirty, a little bit, but not a lot. Real clean kid. He wasn't on dope, you could tell. All this, and he came in, and he talked to Brother Ed, and he said, you know what? He said, I have an eight in however many days it was. And he said, I'm hungry. He said, I'm tired. I have no place to sleep. He said, and I just want to get home to my mom. Now, probably 75% of us in here would have thought, boy, that's a scam. You know, we would have. But Brother Ed said, okay, all right. He fed him. He gave him money for food. He put him up in the hotel across the road over here for, I think, one or two nights. I think it was two nights because he had to get him a bus ticket. So he got him a bus ticket. Well, that was it. The young man was gone. About a month, maybe 6 weeks later, I got a letter in the mail. And it was from his mother. She said, I want you to do this for me. I want you to thank Only Believe Ministries congregation. She said, because my son was hungry and you fed him. She said, he was down and out and you took him in and put him in a hotel. She said, and you brought him home to his mother. She said, I want to tell you, Only Believe Ministries is what I call a church. That, now I'm paraphrasing because some of it, you know, might not have been word for word, so I don't want to get up here and lie to you. But that's, and I've got the letter somewhere. I've just got to find it. But because I kept it. I don't know. I think she sent an offering, but I can't remember. You know, but I just thought, wow, what a compliment to Only Believe. You know, and it's to help the poor. So we help the poor. It is also to take care of the staff. And I will say this, we have the best staff in the United States and all across the world. We really do. I've been to a lot of churches here in the United States with pastor and by myself. And I'm telling you, our staff is on 100% all the time. We got the best staff ever. So we pay our staff. If we ask them to go to California and get a vial that big of oil, they'd do it. That's just how everybody gets along. It's like a big family. It's great. So anyway, so they get paid out of the tithes and offerings, and so does the pastors. We get paid out of the tithes and offerings. Now, so what are the benefits of tithing? All right. So when God says he's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive, and that you would not have room enough to receive it, you know what? We say, I've heard people say, well, he's never poured out blessings on me. He's never done that for me. Listen, God doesn't open a window like that. Take a bucket, put a bunch of money in it, and dump it on your head. He doesn't do that. That's not what he's talking about. No, the Lord's going to give you new ideas. He's going to give you new investments. Listen, Pastor, when he arrived in heaven, you know, I'm concerned a little bit, you know. A new investment was offered to me. I get monthly, if I want them, I get monthly checks from that new investment. Now you think, how God takes care of you because you're a tither. I never knew about that. Never knew about it. So he'll give you inventions, things that you know you've never thought of before. And he'll give you inventions and ideas. And he'll help you to get higher pay. Like your boss will just say, hey, you know, I'm going to give you a raise. You're doing a great job. He'll give you a better job. You will produce in every area of your life, and expansion will come. It will come, and God will give you wisdom and knowledge on how to handle all this. But he just doesn't dump dollar bills on your head. Okay? Now, all right, how many of you in here know that you have a second bank account? Oh, nobody. Oh, you do? The two of you. Do you have it in a bank like U.S. Bank or Chase? Or that man knows the word. All right. So Matthew 6:20, we all have a second bank account, and it's in heaven. But listen, this is so good. You can draw from it anytime you want. Matthew 6:20, but you've got to have given and sowed first. Okay. Matthew 6:20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Now, you say, well, Pastor Phyllis, how do we lay up our treasures in heaven? By our sowing and our givings, all right? Because they are being put in a heavenly account in heaven. And Luke 6:38, God's not a man that he can lie. Give and it shall be given. I'm giving you the same scripture again because it works. It really, really works. Let me tell you a story. Another one. Do you mind all these stories? Okay. Did somebody say yes? Okay. All right. So anyway, we've lived in our home for 16 years. Okay. So the birds come every year, and somehow there's this little lip, like, we have a walkout basement, and then we have a second story. And these birds come, and somehow they get in there, and they have their babies, and they leave us a mess, and then they leave. Okay? And we got to clean up the defecation. So anyway, Pete and I was walking around the house one day, just looking at everything, you know, thinking like, you know, what do we need to look at, fix, whatever. We were walking around the house, and all of a sudden we looked, and a board was hanging down on the thing that held up the porch. And Pete said, Phyllis, you need to get Chris in here and let him look at this and tell us, you know, replace the board. So we said, okay. So Chris came. He took the board out. He said, oh, Pastor Phyllis. And when Chris says that, I know it's going to cost me a lot of money. A lot. And I said, what now, Chris? What? He said, I'm telling you, your whole porch is rotted out. The whole thing that holds it up is rotted out. I said, you got to be kidding. He said, and I can't fix it. He said, because I'm not, you know, he just didn't have the tools and everything to fix that. So I thought, oh, my gosh. So I know that there's some great people here in the church that's what they do for a living. So I called one of them. And he came out, and listen, by the way, they're excellent. They're excellent at everything they do. They come on time, they get the job done, and they clean up, and they're gone. And he gave me a great price. It was expensive, but still, it was a great price, and I knew he had lowered it because of me, you know, because it would probably have cost way up to maybe $14,000 or something. And he gave it to me for six, okay? So, now, here's the thing. I'm talking about your little bank account, all right? So, I had the money in the bank that I could have used. I could have used that. But I needed it for bills and this and that, house payments, different things, okay? And but I didn't want to use that. And I could have cashed in probably a CD. But then you're paying penalties, and you're having to pay taxes on your CD. So I said, I knew that I had a second bank account, and I've never drawn on it before. And I went to God. I said, God, here's what I need. I need $6,000, and I need it quick. I said, because these guys are almost done with this. I said, and I need to pay them immediately so they don't have to wait and have a problem with paying their guys or anything, which they wouldn't. But still, I don't want anybody to have to wait on their money if I'm a good steward, right? And I am. So I said, so I sent him the check. He sent me the bill. He sent me the bill, and I sent him the check. And but I prayed, and I said, God, I need to draw out of my heavenly account $6,000. I said, now, I've sown. I reminded him. God says, bring him back into the remembrance of his word. So I reminded him. I said, God, I've sown. I have given. I've bought people cars. I've paid off their house. I've given them thousands of dollars, this and that. And I'm just telling God what I'd done. I said, so I want to draw from my heavenly bank account. And so about a week went by. I'd already sent him the check. About a week went by. It might have been a little longer. I'm not for sure how long, but I'd already sent it. And about a week or so went by. All of a sudden, I get a phone call. I've never got a phone call from this guy in my life except to work, you know, on the job, whatever. And he said, Pastor Phyllis, he said, God just kind of dropped this in my heart that I'm supposed to sow you this. And I said, praise God. Praise God. Because that was out of my heavenly account, right? Okay. So, now I'm still talking about your heavenly account. But see, these things like this helps you trust God. Times like this and knowing that God's got your back. All right? Wait a minute. So I got to tell you the rest of it. Where'd it go? There it goes. Okay. So you might, I'll read you this. Tithing stops the devil, which I already said, from destroying your cars, your homes, your jobs, because the devil's a devourer. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, and you might say to me, well, Pastor Phyllis, see, he didn't help your God didn't help your home, and you've been a tither all your life. Think about it. Did I have to pay a dime? Think about it. I didn't have to pay a dime. You say, no, that poor guy that sowed it to you, now he's out $6,000. Nope. Nope. God told him to sow it. When God tells you to sow it, you better do it. God owns it all. You better do it, and he did. And you know what? That man will, listen, he's just laying up in his bank account, all right, which he's probably got a bigger bank account, but he's just laying up in his bank account because he sowed and he gave to Pastor and I. That's $6,000. So listen, God is awesome. God is awesome. So tithing helps you to obey God like that man did and let you be able to be blessed. I was blessed. Can you imagine? He fixed my whole porch for nothing. I was blessed. That's what tithing does. But see, people don't count that. Well, if they give me money, I'll count that, but that's it. No. God blesses you in every area of your life. So, now, Jesus referred to tithing. I got to check the time. Jesus referred to tithing as something that should not be neglected. Deuteronomy 14:22 says, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. So I want you to pay attention to increase here. Let's talk about the farmers for a second. The farmers, when if they tithe, they can take off their, this is the way I believe. If you don't believe this, it's okay. But this is the way I believe. I believe that you pay tithe on your increase. Well, those farmers aren't increased because they got to take off their seed, not with this, but they got to take off their seed, they got to take off their fertilizer, they got to take off their whatever kind of gas they use. All these things, whatever it is, to be able to replant their crop. So, that's not their increase. All those things is not their increase, all right? So you only pay on your increase. Now, when I get my check, I look at it, I see it. Okay, I pay on that, but I don't pay on what I give the government. But when my taxes come back or my tax return comes back, if I've got anything, I pay on that. If I don't have anything, I don't pay. I don't pay taxes or tithes, I'm sorry, on the money I give the government. Now, you might not agree with that, and that's okay. You got to do what feels right with you. But I don't do that. I don't pay tithe on my taxes. Now, because God says you're increased. I'm not increased any. The government is, right? Okay. So, farmers, you're free to take off everything, all your seed, all that stuff. And I'm sure you do, David, right? And you pay on your increase. Okay. Did God say we should tithe? Yes, he did. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with all the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And their barns back then was kind of like their bank accounts. And thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. So in other words, our bank accounts are going to be bigger and better. And listen, we're supposed to tithe. That's just all there is to it. Now, we've learned what the purpose of tithing is, what is tithing used for, benefits of tithing, but this is one thing, if you've not paid attention to anything I've said, God gave me this, and I've never heard it preached before, but it's biblical, and it's the Word. So pay attention. Where does your tithes go after they've taken care of the church, they've done everything they're supposed to do, where do they go spiritually? All right, we're going to find out. Hebrews 7:8 says, and here men that die receive tithe. Talking about pastors here on earth receiving our tithe. But there, talking about heaven, he receiveth them, Jesus, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Now, so it's talking about mortal men receiving the tithes here on earth, and they die, but in heaven Jesus receives them because he lives. Now, Hebrews 3:1 says, wherefore, holy brethren, are you a holy brethren? Absolutely you are. You're a holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. You're partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. This scripture here is telling us Christ Jesus, it says. This scripture here is telling us Christ Jesus is our high priest, okay? So a high priest is a mediator position. It is someone who intercedes between God and man, a role that Jesus took on after his death and his resurrection. Now remember, Jesus is our high priest. Jesus receives our tithes and offerings in heaven, but we're still not done with what he's done with them. Hebrews 8:1-3 says this, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. And I'm closing with this last scripture. This is the sum. In other words, all these scriptures, Hebrew, it summarizes this for you. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty. He's talking about Jesus in heaven, okay? A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest, verse 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Well, we know that Jesus was our ultimate sacrifice. So he doesn't have to offer anything else for a sacrifice, but he does have to offer gifts because it says, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer or to give. I know you've never heard this taught before, have you? No. I'm telling you, God just, he dropped it in me. Yeah. So, Jesus takes our tithes and offerings after we bring them down here. He takes them spiritually because we've given, okay? And he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he receives our tithes and offerings, and he presents them because he has to give a gift. He's a high priest. So, he presents them to the Father, and he says, here, Father, is John's tithe. Here, Father, is Ashley's tithes and offerings. Here, Father, is Pastor Nicole's tithes and offerings. Listen, I don't ever want Jesus to say to me, Father, I don't have any tithe for Pastor Phyllis. Wouldn't that be bad? Wouldn't that be sad? I don't have any gifts from Lois. Lois, I'm just using you, honey, you know. But I don't have any gifts for Lois this week. I don't have any tithes and offerings. I don't ever want God to say that to me. And listen, because he has to offer gifts to God. And our tithe is our gifts to him to give to the Father. Now, I'm not trying, church, please know this, I am not trying to bring condemnation to any of you. None of you. I love you dearly, and I don't want you to be condemned. I just want to preach the true word of God. Because if I don't, I'll be held accountable for it. So, I love you. Don't throw tomatoes at me when I'm leaving today. No, I know better than that. But I just love you. And I know I was nervous up here because I haven't taught in so long. But forgive me, okay? Just love me anyway.
You did great. Thank you. As a mother of our house, we need to be reminded about the things that are important. And, you know, she told me what God had dropped in her heart about a week or a week and a half ago. And it was supposed to be a 10-minute message for the offering. And it just kept growing and growing. And I said, you know, Mom, I said, I've watched your life my whole life. And you mentioned Grandma and Grandpa in this. But I remember my grandmother. I mean, it was instant that they were digging through their purse for tithe. That's when you had to go to the bank, get the bank the cash check, and then come back, and she'd be in the car already putting it in the place that church was coming and we were going to give the offering. And she would always tithe an offering. And it's been instilled in us at such an early age. But I'm telling you that because of that, you know, my kids are still starting to walk in this, that we were in the car yesterday. We just showed up to that place to shop because it was a Saturday morning and we had breakfast. We just had breakfast. I'm like, why don't we all go over to Nolo?
They never invite me to breakfast.
Let me mind, everyone is in our house for breakfast. No one has to drive 40 minutes to get there because they're all living at home. But we were all going to Nolo just to spend, everything's $8. Like, it's an awesome place. It's like everything is returned from Amazon, goes to this one hole. And you all get to dig through it and look and just have fun. And so I'm like, everybody get some cash, let's go over there. And when we got there, I'm looking at this huge long line and I'm like, what's happening? And I see all these pregnant girls and I'm like, what's being released today at Nolo? And she's like, oh, it's baby day. And Jillian looks at me, she's like, baby day? And Lincoln's like, baby day, what are we doing here? Let's go. And so I pulled the kids around. I said, now listen, everybody take a different aisle. Everybody, you know, there's already 150 people in line for what we need. And I'm like, Jillie, what color don't you want? She said, don't give me no color. I like neutrals. I'm like, anything that's brown, black, gray, you pick it up and bring it to Jillie and see if she wants it. But it was when we got in the car on the way home, we were amazed at what God had done. Like, Lincoln's in the pile. He's like, I saw this high chair. It goes around 360. I grabbed it. I saw these girls grabbing them. I'm like, give me one of those. And what was it? It's that God knew what these kids had need of, and they didn't. They didn't even have a clue. They're still, I don't know how many months. We got months before the baby's born. But we're all getting in the car, and we're like, God knew what we needed, and he gave it to us. Why? Not 10 minutes before that, Quentin had just taken care, he got paid the night before and said, no, we got to take our tithe out. And I heard him talking at the kitchen table. You think of that. If you don't release what God gives you, what isn't he blessing you with? Because he can't, because you won't obey. Thank you. Thank you for sharing the true purpose of giving.
To tell Selah about it.
Oh yeah. Well, we went back. It was already it was wiped. Selah, next time we'll pick some stuff up at Nolo. Yeah. No, it just leaves as fast as it comes in. So if you're in Lima, Nolo, it's a place to be on Saturday, I guess. Yeah, you're welcome, Mom. You did a great job. You did a great job. If everyone would in the house stand to your feet. It's good to hear about the things of the Lord that we need to be obedient in, but I don't want to leave a service without
making an offer for anyone here to receive Jesus as your personal Savior today. And I know you probably didn't come in to hear a giving message or a message about giving, but I remind you that John 3:16 says that for God, our Heavenly Father, loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in him would have everlasting life. He didn't come into this world to condemn you and I for the sins that we've committed. In fact, he came to pay the price for all of our sin, so that you and I could spend an eternity with God and not have to make that payment. If you're here today and maybe this is the first time you've come through the church doors in a long time, or maybe you've been invited by someone who believes in the Lord and they want you to hear the message so you too can choose whether you want to believe in him or not believe in him. If that's you today, then this is for you. This is the salvation call. This is where I ask you to make a choice between living for the world and living for a Savior that gave his life for you. Maybe you're in the house today and you've come back after a while because you've fallen away from the Lord. And maybe you were the brokenhearted that God was talking about in the service today, and you went out on your own and you got a little broke when you went out. But now you've come back home. This is a time for you to say yes to Jesus again. Is there anyone that would be present in the house today that would say, Pastor Nicole, I don't know why I walked into this church today, but here I am, and now I know exactly why. Is there someone in the house today that would say yes to Jesus? That maybe you've been running. Maybe you know your grandmother's been praying for you on her knees, and it's time that you give in and say yes to Jesus. Is there anyone here today that would want to say yes to him? This is what the real service is about. Offering Jesus to everyone. Is there anyone? All right. Well, with that being said, we're going to pray and let you guys go home. And we're going to see you back here next on Wednesday. We have service. If you're in small groups, that'll be for you. We are done reading the book of Acts. But if you, this finished our Acts series, but the Acts of the True Disciples, they gave, right? We'll just say it that way. But if you haven't read the book of Acts, I encourage you to do so. And in the meantime, if you're in small groups, we'll see you here on Wednesday. If you're not in small groups, there's definitely a message going on in the main house that you can hear. And we've got a good word for you on Wednesday. And we are talking about the continuation of faith and what it does in your life when it's released. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for bringing forth a word today through the mother of our house, Father, through Pastor Phyllis, and challenging those of us that maybe have not tithed to start tithing so that we can too learn to be obedient in the scripture. But Lord, for those of that do, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have done what your word said. Father, I ask that you would open our eyes to see the blessing that you have bestowed upon us. Make us sensitive to identifying what that looks like when you are blessing us and what you're doing and how our obedience is pleasing to you when we mix it with faith. Father, we believe every word in your Bible. We believe every word that you've written to teach us. And Father, we choose to live in all of it, not just what feels good, not just what comes easy, not just what makes us comfortable. But Lord, even the uncomfortable places, we trust in your plan and we choose to honor and obey you with all of our words and our deed. Father, we thank you for delivering the word today. Father, let it take root in our heart, that it would grow and bring forth fruit in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Church, we will see you on Wednesday night. If you need prayer in your body, if you want to give your life to Christ, and maybe you